Okay, today we're going to sift Lamed Aleph and on. And while the din of a shtuki is very complicated, the din of a child is born to a mother that can't or won't identify the father. Today we learn Asufi, which is far less complicated. Of course, we get to Halacha L'maaseh, so we'll have to figure out the pratim. But an Asufi is an abandoned child. It's a child that's left abandoned in the street or an adoption agency, which we'll talk about later. And the din of an Asufi and the Gemara is that if the child is left in a way that shows the parents cared about the child, then the Asufi is considered a kasher. So the question becomes, how do you know he's Jewish b'chlal? Now, if the baby was left at the rabbi's door, I guess you could assume there's regalim l'dava that it's a Jewish child, perhaps. So what the way the Shulchan Aruch is set up, Sif Lamed and Lamed Aleph are a breeze. Just Kamat Noma Farshim. When you see the single parenthesis and pay something, that's all the Groz Mara Makaymus. Lamed and Lamed Aleph talk about whether the child's a mamzer. Then Lamed Aleph and Lamed Beis talk about the child's a mamzer. And Lamed Gimel starts talking about whether he might be a guy. So there are two separate discussions. There's the easy one and the difficult one. Lamed Aleph, Lamed Beis talk about an Asufi, leaving out the possibility that he might be a guy. On the assumption that he's a Jewish child, do Ari Chayshish that he's a mamzer. So the halachis are very straightforward and quite simple. Well, the bottom line here is the Chazal made a gzeir of shtuki and asufi. In each case, there's a big kula. By shtuki, where the mother's here, we said, if you ask her, right, Abishol Hayakar Lishtuki Baduki, that a shtuki just asked the mother, mothers believe, to say the child's kosher. And an asufi, as we're going to see in a minute, is only a child that's left to die. A child that's left in a way that the parents care about the child is a kosher child. So let's learn Lamed Aleph, Lamed Beis, and then we'll go on to see Sif Lamed Gimel. Sif Lamed Aleph, a Sufi means an abandoned child. Literally, a Sufi means gathered in. He's gathered in from where he was abandoned. Shenesaf Mei Hashuk, Havasafik Mamzer. It's Xerid Rabbanon that we have to be Chayshish that he's a Mamzer. For example, we're not sure if the parents cared about the child. He might have been abandoned to die. He was left somewhere. If it's clear that he was not left to die, and he gives examples. Either there's a chacha in the body of the child, the child is taken care of, whether a bris or or that his physically is taken care of, like we do to babies, or he was smeared with oil or some type of whatever it is they put in the eyes, or they put a kameya around his neck. That will show that he's a Jew, if it's a Jewish kameya. So that's a dizechacha begufay, is kasher. Or, bein sheishachacha bimakim. Or if the place he was left, kagayim. Sheninza bimakim shirabe mitzuyin sham. Wasn't left to die. He was left in a place where they knew he'll be found. Ashitoi bimakim bi'ilan, shein chaya megasham. Or, he was hung in a basket, let's say, from a tree, to be protected from the wild animals, v'yasamuchliyir, in a place near where people go, ashinsim bebeis haknesses, hasamuch, or was left in a shul, oy b'tzidei rishus harabim, or he was left in a place where people stand on the side of the street, All these cases, Eimei v'shem ha'sufi, kivan shechayshirol v'shaimrai, since the parents cared about him, v'loi hushlo shom elu v'shem ravai. And we assumed the baby was abandoned because the parents could not afford to feed the baby. What? The word hasamach, you mean? I assume he means because chutz le'ir there were batek nesiyas. So even though it's chutz le'ir, but it's near Beis HaKnesses. What? They sometimes dam down shav in the farm community. It was always that way. But so there are almost no mafarshim on this. There's one pisay tshuva we will come back to, which is a little complicated. But the halacha though is clear. No, nobody's arguing with this din. That an asufi that was left, that was not left to die, now we assume that the child is a kasha child. Let's say for now that it's raiv anyway, raiv children are ksherim. And in the case where a child is abandoned, if he'd be abandoned to die, we'd assume that it's because he's illegitimate, and otherwise. We assume he's legitimate. If in between, that's an asufi. If there's no raya that he was left one way or the other, that's an asufi, which is a child that's shash suffik mams. So as I said, we'll get to Goyim soon in Lami Gimel. Right now we're talking, assuming that for whatever reason, it's in a ghetto, let's say, or a place where we assume it's a Jewish child, which is Gemara's case. So then, as chashash mamzer, we're not concerned. The chashash guy today, obviously, is the more prevalent issue. Okay. Now you'll understand that a baby given to an adoption agency falls into this category. The parents didn't want the child to die; they gave a child up for adoption, so that child is not an asufi, and we're not chayshish for mamzeris in the child. Okay. Sif Lamed Beis adds. Another chiddush: Havlad shor yemushlach b'derech, a child that was abandoned, uba echad v'amar abenihu v'ani yishlachtiv, and a parent comes and he says, "I threw away the baby. I want my baby back." Neman, as long as the baby is still an abandoned child out in the street, a parent is believed. Chin imay nemenes, and the same thing if a woman comes. She's believed. The Aruch HaShulchan says that it's an umdina. Nobody comes and says that a child that's not his child, that he threw away that child.
Is there penalties or punishment for this parent? He's admitting bad acts.
There's no... We don't have a system of punishment for Ruba Deruba.
Isn't from the Gemara Ketushin that to the same case where he's believed, that something is my child, the father would be the same case?
You're talking about Yaakir. Here we're talking about while the child's an abandoned child, Darach HaShulchan says it's an umdin and no one would say it's his child. Nothing to do, Yakir is against the chazaka. That's an emon, it's against the chazaka. Here there's no chazaka, it's an abandoned child. Now, it says once the child is gathered in, still in the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Lamed Beis, Nesav, the second line, Nesav min hashuk uboa v'vi'imai. Once he was taken in, they called the police, we found a baby. And they took the baby in. And now the parents say, B'nei Nuhu, Einei Neman Hoyel V'yotzol of Shem Asufi. That we have to draw a line at some point. And once he's designated as an Asufi, the parents are not Neman Lekula. I guess they'd be Neman, but not Lekula. Mishnei Ravain, and in times of hunger, Nemanim, they're even believed in that case. Ne'arav Ishlichu. They want the child to be fed. Again, it's a sif with zero mafarshim. It's simple that we have an umdina that parents would not say this is our child unless there was truth to it, and therefore they're believed unless the child's already designated as an asufi. Then there has to be like a place where a point in time where then their mother sends. But generally speaking, they have an amanis that they gave up the child because they couldn't feed the child. I think I mentioned to you last week, I don't remember if I did, this sounds starts to be so far-fetched. After the Holocaust, my mother-in-law and her two sisters were given up to an adoption agency. The parents couldn't feed them. and they said that they were uncle and aunt, and they put him into an orphanage. Not adoption, an orphanage. They put him into an orphanage, and my mother-in-law remembers her childhood memories. She doesn't have memories of pre-war. She was still an infant. But her earliest memories are being in an orphanage and having her parents come to visit her, pretending to be her uncle and aunt. Mm. So, Baruch Hashem, we can't imagine a time that you can't feed children and you give them up. Hopefully, we'll never have to imagine it again. But here it is. My mother-in-law is alive and well. She should be alive and well. And she remembers being, everyone said that these are not her parents. They signed documents that they're not her parents. For Shnei Ravim, because it was a time of hunger. There was nothing. This was in Paris, in France, where they were. Right, that's our assumptions. They suddenly felt guilt, and that's why if it's Shnas Ravah, they're believed. Once the child's an Asufi, they're not believed, except Shnas Ravah, and we believe them. Child's missing, so what are you going to do? Why are you dealing the status of a child if he's missing?
No, they found him, and then the people saying he's a parent.
Maybe it's not. All right, so I don't know if it has anything to do with this sif. It's a legitimate question. Until what point is someone in a Sufi? If you have a child wandering around the streets, a 10-year-old, is he also in a Sufi? I don't know. But still, you hear about an infant, about a baby, and. Like I said, Lamed Alpha and Beis, no Mefarshim here. It's basically a very simple, straightforward halacha that we're not chayshish for mamzeris, except midrabanan, when a child is abandoned to die, or it's not clear to us if he was abandoned to die, so chasal wa geyser, xerev
asufi. It's not a halacha of Moshe Messina, this is just an undernoise. Supposing there are some women who have mamzer who would like the child to live, you can do this, some you said, you go into the halacha of Rove, that Rove.
Yeah, there's some who would even abandon the child. So why is she abandoning the child? Maybe some moms and you can't feed her. Okay, so we're going to see a machlok in Nida Yehuda and the Beis Meir. Nida Yehuda assumes that every child is called a parish is not kavua. We discussed in the past a woman who's mizana. So we said if the woman goes to the man's house and is mizana in the man's house, that's kokol kavua kabetz abechza. Even if there's one mamzer in the city, we have to be chayshish for a kavua. The Navi Yehuda says that's only true about a woman who's mizana. Our shayla is where was she mizana? In her house, in his house. If it's in his house, it's called kavua kabetz abechza. The Navi Yehuda's chiddush, which he holds big enough communis la halacha. But Rabbi Yehuda says that when the nidan is the baby, every baby is parish. Every baby that you find is parish. If the baby's in the parents' house, it's kavoy, you know what the parents are. But any baby that's given up for adoption or abandoned, or even if he's 30 years old when he comes to us, he says he doesn't know his ichus. Every baby is parish, and therefore, we're not chayshish for mamzeris. That's the Navi Yehuda's chiddush. Now, again, in a minute we'll get to Sif Lavi Gimel's Chashash of Goyim, which has to do with the adoption agencies today. But so I'm just talking about Lamed Alpha Lamed Beis, where we assume the child is Jewish for one reason or another. There's a kameya, they're left in the bay in the shul, or whatever the reason might be. In Pesachei Tshuva, Mamalo, if he brings the Nida Yehuda, it's a long, relatively long Pesachei Tshuva. There's a machlokes here, the Nida Yehuda and the Beis Meir. Now, the Nida Yehuda has a tremendous kula. He says the following: we dealt with Shtuki the last few weeks with a pregnant woman who's who either can't or won't reveal to us who the father of the child is. So he said, Ishtuki, we have a problem. If the mother will identify the father as a kosher, we're good. If not, the child is postulikahol. Nidbiyud is kula, is based on the din of Asufi. He asks, why isn't every Asufi also a Shtuki? In other words, here you have an abandoned child, and the child was left to live, so there's no Gezeirah of Asufi. So we're not worried, the mother cared about the child. But why is it different than every time we know the mother? And the mother does care about the child, and we don't know the father. So we made a Gezeirah that the child is a Safik Mamzer because of the Gezeirah of Shtuki. The question is, every Asufi is also a Shtuki. Asufi, you know neither the mother nor the father. So we made a Gzeira, we said if he's left to live, it's fine. But what about the Gzeira of Shtuki? Anytime you just don't know the father, the child is a Safik Mamzer. Because our guys, if you don't know the father, maybe the mother went to the man's house to be Mizanet Kavua. And so every Asufi, if you left a baby, you took care of him, so forget the Gzeira of Asufi. But it's still a Shtuki, you don't know who the father is. This is Nabi Yehuda's cash. Because of this, the Nabi Yehuda says a Chiddush, that the Gzeira of Shtuki is only when the mother is here, and we have to pass him whether she's a Kshera, whether she's Mutter Lekayim, whether she's a Zaino or not. When the mother is... Well, the mother herself wouldn't be a mamzer, right? The mother is...
She was the nibbler to a mamzer, right.
So she were worried about the mother. We have to be done on the mother. So there we discussed, did she go to him to be mizana, which is kavua? Did he go to her? And that's pirish. Says in the Yehuda, that's when the din Torah is over the din of the mother. But any time the mother is not here, whether it's an Asufi, so the mother's not here, Be'etzem, she's not identifying herself. Or, if you have a Baal Tshuva who comes along, she's not in this case, a Baal Tshuva comes along, he says, I don't know who my father is, my mother never told me. But the mother's not here, either she's dead, she's not asking Shilas, or she's not from, she's not asking Shilas. The Nidin is on the child alone. Says the Nidin of Yehuda, the Kula of these two Sifim apply. Because when you're down on the child, every child is not kavua. Every child is pirish. He doesn't know where he was born. We found him in the street. He's a pirish. Wherever it is that we found him, he's pirish, the gabi, his father. Even if he's raised by a single mother, the gabi, the father, he's pirish. Now, if you're down on the mother, maybe she went to his house and was mizana. That's the mother. But the baby, when you're not down on the mother, the baby is always pirish. And Shalva Yisrael, and everything is, there's no problem. Rabbi Yehuda is a tremendous kula. Anytime the mother is either not alive, or too old, she's not contemplating marriage, or she's not from and doesn't care, she's not asking a shayla. Mm-hmm. In all these cases, the Rabbi Yehuda is meikul.
There's not a suffix in that case at all, when you say Persian?
That's what he says. There's no Gezeira Sufi Yishtuki. It reverts back to the Din Taira, which is called the Parish, Meruba Parish, and Raivak Sherim. So. So Shema Paga, we only make the Gezeira Lechatzila, not to set up a situation. But once he's here, it's again Raiv that it's not a Chaisai. But once he's alive, it's no. This is the. No, you be who this kula. Now it's interesting. The Beis Meir disagrees sharply. He says every baby is a kavua. Every baby, the shaila is not what the baby did. The shaila is where the baby was conceived, and since the shaila is on the conception, it's vaita shaila of kavua. Where is the baby conceived? In the house of the father, and not in the house of the father. Now the Shef Shmeitzer has an arichus on this dispute between the Nabi Yehuda and the Beis Meir. He seems to understand they're arguing when you're down on a person, is the person when he was conceived or when he was born? That's what it sounds like. At conception, it might have been kavua. But at birth, a woman doesn't give birth in the place she's mizana. She gives birth 9 months later. So the Nabi Yehuda holds that, what do you mean? The baby is born, wherever the baby is born. And there's no kavua kabetz al-mechza. The shayla on the baby starts wherever he is. He's always pirish. He's never by his father's house. And the Beis Meir holds, no, the Makar Shaila's conception.
According to Beis Meir, why is it different than the case where you find a piece of meat and you're done, well, there's no, it's called, you say, called the parish. Why do you say, compared with the meat came from?
You're very good. That's the Schweitzer's kasha on the Beis Meir. It's very good. You have to chap, it's a little complicated. Yaakov chapped right away. Now I have to tell you, most places can bring the Noid of Yehuda and use it as tziruf. They're not semachan in itself. The Shef Schweitzer has a very sharp point. You know, he agrees that the Noid of Yehuda, he says v'loy mitameh, but he agrees the following. He says the following. What's the standard, the Gemara's case of Kavua and Parish? Gemara's case, you have 9 kosher butcher shops in town and 1 treif. If you find money in the meat in the street, it's kosher, called the parish, move of parish. You have 9 kosher butcher stores and 1 treif. You find meat in the street, it's kosher. If a man went into a butcher store, bought it, and he doesn't remember, he thought all the butcher stores in town are kosher, he didn't give it a second thought. And now they ask him, where'd you get this burger? He says, I went into a store. He said, which store? He says, I don't remember which store. Then, even if they are 99 kosher and 1 treif, kol kavua kemetza mechza. When you go into the store, it's exactly cost of any time the suffix starts in the kvias, it's kavua kemetza mechza, it's 50-50, and it's if it's in their eyes, it's a suffix lichum. So listen to what the Schweitzer says. Here you have a man. He goes into a store. He buys meat, and he's walking around, he's whistling as he walks. He has no worries in the world. He needs his kosher. In a minute, he's going to find out that this burger that he has is kavua kemetza mechza dummy in his tray. And as he's walking along the way, he drops it. Someone else comes and finds it. So this person says, call the parish Meruba parish. The Schmeitzer says, every parish is parish from a kvias. It started off in a butcher store. Every parish is parish from a kvias. What?
A guy dropped it.
It could be a guy, it could be a Jew. We don't know who dropped it, right? But the point is, someone dropped it, and he knew where he bought it. So if the shayla is where he bought it, so Zakti Shmaitza, it doesn't matter. Every parish is from a kvias. We go according to the beginning of the suffix, whenever the suffix started. That's when the nidain is. We're not being done for the man who dropped it. We're being done for the man who found it. So what the Schweitzer is saying is the system works. The Xerikos Kavua works that if you discover it after it's parish, we go according to parish. So he says the pregnant woman who gives birth is like the man buying the burger in the store. You have to this thing. The man buys a burger in the store, it's Kavua. He drops it, it becomes parish. A woman becomes pregnant in a man's house, it's kavua. She drops the baby, so to speak. She gives out the baby, runs away. It's an asufi. Now it's parish.
The question is, who comes? She comes or the baby comes?
A sufi, she's not here, right? You mean, in the case of a sufi, you found it in the street. In the case of a Yehuda, you might know who she is, but she's not asking the shayla. So he says, the need is on the baby, so it should be... we should go bus arrive and arrive people are not mamzerim. So the Schmeitzer is matzdik. This is an arichus and Schmeitzer gimel yuzayin and ches yutes. He has an arichus on this topic, and therefore the Noid Yehuda is an important factor. As a matter of fact, it's a deciding factor usually today when you have Balei Tshuva who don't know who their father is, who were born from unwed mothers. Basically, he's Jewish. He knows his mother's Jewish. The shayla is mamzeris, the gzeira of shtuki. So basically, we have most cases Noid Yehuda's kula, unless Nebuch the mother is also balas tshuva and she's asking a shayla. That makes it worse. Like we'd rather the boy come and his mother. Don't be makar of your mother too quickly. You know, if she comes in and asks the shayla and she wants to marry, we'll have a shayla on the mother, which makes it back into a shtuki. But as long as he's asking himself, according to Noib Yehuda, you could be Mekel, and there are other tzerufim to be Mekel. But that's the tshuva mem aleph. It's an arichus, but a tziruf we'll get to in a few minutes. All right. Basically, putting Noib Yehuda aside, siflam and alpha and beis are simple. You find a baby in the street. He's not if he's left to die. Well, chayshish, he's a mamzer. He's not legitimate. if he's left to be adopted and left to be alive without chayshish from mamzeres. Shalom Yisrael, like I said, no mafarshim, amirav ha'mbeza straight. Tzifla megimel is our shayla. If you have a baby in an adoption agency, what do we do with the baby? Do we consider that he's a Jew, that he's a guy? Are we chayshish for goyim? We live in a medina that's rav goyim. Now there are two sides to this issue. Now, what do you assume? We'd rather he be a guy or a Jew? Well, there are two types of people in adoption agencies. Okay, there's a type of person who went to yeshiva and went to, and today could be in Beis Medrash, and then he finds out his mother is adopted. He preferred that his mother be Jewish, probably, right? He's coming to ask. I just found out my mother's adopted, or my mother's adopted. What do we do now? That's one shot. Then you have the flip case. You have people who don't have children that adopt children. Now, because the law, as it stands today, is that when you adopt a child, the natural parents are not known to the adoptive parents. In other words, it's an interest of not only of society, but even of a baby growing up, that the baby not be torn between the biological parents and the adopting parents. Also, there's a desire of the adopting parents to have the child for a lifetime. And the child's going to grow up and look for the biological parents. So the biological parents didn't want to patchka with the child as a child, but once the child is a 30-year-old, they'll be interested. So the law as it stands today in the whole country, I think it's a state by state laws, but across the United States, the rules today are that the records are sealed except for certain circumstances, and it's not known. So today there are Jewish families that want to adopt, and they won't know if the child is Jewish or not. Very often, for practical reasons, they'd rather adopt just a non-Jewish child and not have any questions of mamzeris. And and no shalom marrying brothers and sisters, right? So then what do? They go to states that have very few Jews. They go they don't stay in New York, New Jersey area. I know someone in the neighborhood adopted a child from Kentucky. The baby was adopted in an adoption place in Kentucky. And I think probably almost everyone here knows the family. I don't know if they know they adopted. And they did a geiris. Rebelsky made a bezdin then. I was there, and I forgot who the third person was. And the child. So 20 years later, when the child was getting married, they invited me to be in the Masada the Kedushin. I said, why invite me? I barely seen the child. They used to come every Purim and introduce me. But they said, because in case anybody has any shaylus on the Yichus, you were there, Bishas, the Geiris, and they didn't hide it from the other side. And Baruch Hashem, now they have the adopted child, and they have grandchildren for the adopted child. So here, we'd rather, practical reason, I'm talking logical reason, practical reason, they'd rather the child be considered a guy. Now the question is that emes? Are you allowed to assume that the child is a guy? So we have here two shaylas. When they want to assume the child's a guy, are you allowed to assume a child's a guy? And when you want to assume the child's a Jew, for whatever reason, are you allowed to assume the child's a Jew? So that's the shayla that we're going to be done on here in Sif Lamed Gimel and in Beishmul Nundalev. Everything, all the paiskim that discuss this, all talk about Beishmul Nundalev. So let's see first Sif Lamed Gimel. I'll try to explain what it's all about, and we'll get to the Beis Shmuel.
Assuming there's no information one way or the other.
We're assuming the records can't be opened, that the records are sealed. That's the assumption, which is generally the case. Okay, Sif Lamed Gimel, Asufi Shinitzi Biyer Shiyesh Bakutim Yisrael. An abandoned child. Abandoned child is a child in an adoption agency who's in a city. Shiyesh Bakutim Yisrael. Bain Shehu Raif Kutim or Raif Yisrael. We don't care about Raif. We're not Seimechan Raif. And Harizeh safikuti lenin yuchsin. This is Xerah de Rabbanon. The Gemara says, Maila asu biyuchsin. We do not rely on Raiv to say the child's a Jew. We don't rely on Raiv to say the child's a guy. We say that the child is a safikuti lenin yuchsin. Kiddush isha, if this child is a male and is a Mekadish a woman, tzricha get mesafik. If he's Jewish, it's a kiddushin. If not, not. So you need to get misafik. Now, hitfilu bezdin l'shem geiris. So yeah, well, you have an adopted child. And we don't know if he's Jewish or not. And bezdin was tevil l'shem geiris. He said, look, if he's a Jew, he's a Jew. If he's a guy, we're tevil l'shem geiris. He himself was tevil himself. Harehu le'inyin yuchsin kishara sufim. Now, what's that tevil in? He's a Jew. Like every Yasufi, and the Mitzvah Bar Yisrael, ain't that Tfilah Mayela, it's Lahaytzi Midei Kuti. Tfilah makes a nice guy. He becomes an Asufi. In our case, that's fine. Because he becomes an Asufi, and Asufi was not left to die, is good, is kosher. So the way out is to be Tevelim Misafik. So if you have an Asufi in a city that's, doesn't matter, Rav Gaim, Rav Yidin, there's no reason to say he's a Jew, or no reason to say he's a guy, just Stama, then we consider him a Safik, Midrabanan, because of Maila Asubiyosim. This is the case here in Seth Lama Gimel. It sounds easy. Just be Tribal a child, and you're Yaitse Midei called Safik. So we're only not worried about Mzeris because an Asufi that was not left to die, we assume is a Kasha. And just like we said, if you leave it on the door of the shul, it's kosher. If you give it to an adoption agency, also.
You're going to say it's a guy, there's no
mamzer. Right. The side is a guy, there's no mamzer. The side is a yid. That's how we assume.
You say
rove.
No distinction between 55%, 95%? No
There's no distinction here, yes. Because you have to remember, mamzer is 99%. Real chesher mamzer is, how many mamzer are there? Very few. So.
What do you say nowadays? I mean, is this the same child where we're nowadays from the war? A lot of them say that people gave two children to us. I took care of the child, one of the child.
We're going to talk about that. Okay, we'll talk about it.
Suppose it's a girl that's tovelis when she's older, but all the time she's raised as a Yiddish girl, and she's tovelis when she's older. Should she be mutter? Can she be mutter to a kohen?
Okay, it's also part of the question. Good. Okay. Question is, there's an afkamina. She's going to tovel on a safik, if she might be a ger, gyaris, then she's also to a kohen. Okay. What? When they adopt a child? When a baby's an infant, they wait 3-4 months. It's a remarkable thing. They tovel the baby. Generally what happens is the father goes into the mikveh, the adopting father, obviously, and holds the baby, makes his hands wet, and holds the baby, says, Na chatzitza. And actually the bezdin pushes the baby. It says, Matvilin oisa yaldas bezdin. So the bezdin puts the hands on the baby and pushes the baby into the water. And it's a fascinating thing to watch. The baby instinctively holds his breath as he's lowered into the water. I'm talking about a 3-month-old baby.
Yeah.
The baby instinctively holds his breath. It barely cries. It's warm. Usually water is warm. Should take a film of it. What?
Do it again 12 years old?
No, no. 12-year-old, they come back out, but you don't need a new geiris. Right. The tefillah is a good tefillah. And when the child turns 12 or 13, 12 for a girl, 13 for a boy, they have a right to back out if they
sometimes
want.
Have to ask the child again, or
the healthiest thing is to ask the child at that age. That's all. Okay, let me. You have to ask a shayla. You know, I don't know if I don't know if it's ma'akev. I doubt it's ma'akev, but I'm not sure. The issue is this. The Gemara says the fire. It's a little pella. Shulchan Aruch doesn't explain. The Beis Shmuel explains. The Gemara says that the Gzeirah D'Rabbanan is that you need what the Gemara calls trei ruvi, two rives. In other words, min ha'Torah yisemech ha'rive. If rive ha'gayim, then the abandoned baby is a guy. Rabbanan ha'gayim, you need trei ruvi. What's trei ruvi? The Gemara says in Ksuvis, rive people in the city are whichever, gayim or yid, you assume the child's a rive. Plus, Raiv Siyua. Raiv Siyua means Raiv caravans. People who travel. The person Mizana might have come in to be Mizana. So you need, let's say New York, you need the city should be Roiv Goyim, and most visitors to the city are Goyim. So that's good. If you have Roiv Goyim and Roiv visitors to the city are Goyim, which is the way it is in New York, over Yasha, right. So now it's a separate, every city is Trey Ruby, is two Roivs, because you have Roiv, the people in the city are Goyim, and Roiv of the visitors are Goyim. So Memela, you have two Roivs, and a Sufi, you can assume, is a guy even Exerid Rabbanan. If you want, in the Beis Shmuel, maybe we'll go through the whole Lashon later, but in the narrow lines, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the sixth narrow line, he brings a certain Machlekes Rabban Deraivid, but he writes here, Mihu. Iika Trei Rubi, Nira Afila Shitas Rambam, Maslin Nacha Harayv. If you have two Rives, everyone would agree you go Bas Harayv. And Memela, Viika Trei Rubi Yaakum, Amrinon, Achshin is Gai, Yeshu Kosher. You don't kosher to a Kayan. Abidida, it made in the Meris Babari, Mahani Mi, Abidi Eve, Trei Rubi, Kamesh Kasav, whatever. So, when you have two Rives, it's good. So Memela, when you adopt a child in America, generally you have a right to assume it's a guy even with Rabbanan, because you have the two wives. So where does the Shaila come up? When someone sets out to adopt a Gaiish child, the Shaila doesn't come up much, at least in Chutz Laretz. And the Shaila comes up, on the contrary, when they adopt a child who's being presented as a Jew. And it makes into a complicated issue. And just to illustrate, the Maisa Shahaya that came my way was with a woman here in Flatbush who was born in 1957 and has a family, girls who went to the Beis Yaakovs and boys who went to yeshivas. And she got married, and her parents are from Hamish Yidden, so to speak, and it never crossed her mind that there might be a shiloh about her status. One of our children got older, realized there might be an issue, was very afraid, obviously. This child was actually a daughter who was dating at the time. And she came to my house, and she said, I'm not telling you my name. I'll tell you who I am. I just want to know what to do. You know, I don't want to get my whole family in trouble. She went to her grandparents. Her grandparents said, don't worry, the child is Jewish. And they gave her a piece of paper. I said, how do you know you're Jewish? They gave her a piece of paper. And they brought it to me. It was from the Jewish Board of Family Services of West Hartford, Connecticut. And the paper documented that the child is a Jew. Now, this paper makes problems because there's no Rav Goyim in a Jewish Board of Family Services in 1957. Maybe today, you know, we could wonder if most of the people that come to the Jewish Board of Family Services are Jews or not. Well, no question that a generation ago, they were Rav were Jews. So what's the Shaila? The Shaila is not a Shaila of Mamzeris, because in a Sufi, we're not Cheshish from Mamzeris, a Shaila for adoption. But it's a shaila of whether you can assume the child is Jewish. You need two rives to assume the child is Jewish. Mamzeris is no shaila. A Sufi, child of adoption, no, we're not mechayish for mamzeris. The question is to be chayish for that the child's not Jewish. That's the issue because of Sifla Amid Gimel that we say we don't rely on rives. You need two rives. And here, we were trying to figure out, how do you make a cheshbon of two rives? How do you get to two rives? I spoke to a lot of gedolim here. And I don't know. In a city, but there's only one rive. Yeah, but here it's not the city. Here it's the adoption agency. Who comes to the adoption agency? Rive Jews. Now, where's their second rive? When you're down on a child found in the city, you have right people in the city, and right visitors to the city. So you can talk about it. But when you have when you have just one right people come to adoption agency are Jews, and what's the second right? There's no second right. There's no...
Do you make that argument?
be Megayer again. It's easy for you to say, hey, you have a whole Jewish family, and you decide to be Megayer everybody.
Unknowingly, she was with Kabbalah all this.
The paper said that she was Jewish. Because the paper was not, it didn't come from foreign people. Yeah, the paper was a meaningless piece of paper. The grandfather's that modest that the adoption agency said that the child is Jewish, but he was a Mevara Pi Halacha. He didn't know, he doesn't know the parents. He doesn't know what the parents are. What? He doesn't know. He adopted a child. He assumed the child's Jewish. He adopted. So what? There's no kavua because the baby is parish. A baby is always parish. And even the, you know, the gezeirah drabbanan anyway would always apply to an adopted child. So what I'll tell you. I went then to Rabbi Yashiv. So I had an appointment by Rabbi Yashiv. And it's a queer thing. Somebody was filming it. And afterwards, the film didn't come out. You know, like Rabbi Yashiv has this aura about him that smartphones don't work. You saw your smartphone. So I went to Rabbi Yashiv, and when I was waiting for him outside, his grandson said, "You know, it's his 100th birthday now. Like, can I know her? Can I know her anymore? He's not alive, but it was around his 100th birthday. It was the summer of his 100th birthday, and then I went in. I took in Rabbi Frati with me because I was always afraid. Everyone said you can't understand Rabbi Yashiv. And I asked him the Shaila. He started to answer me. In the middle, he asked me if I got a lawyer to try to open the records. So I said, no. So he said, okay, first hire a lawyer, see if you can get the records open. If not, come back. Nervous, you know, I just wanted to know, so I'm going to tell him, you know, you're 100 years old. I don't know when I'll get back to you. So I said, just tell me. So he said, no, I'm not going to tell you. You have to do first. So Vifrati said, he's Ish Neman. If you say he'll get a lawyer, get a lawyer. So he said, so he tells Rabbi Frati, he's afraid he won't get in. You'll make sure he gets in. That's what he told him. So I was a little stuck. I came back. I think I called you for a lawyer then, the Connecticut lawyer. But it seems in Connecticut, the law, I don't know, the progressives want to change these laws, but the law at the time was you can only open the records if both the mother and the child request it. It has to be a request on record from the mother. The mother, you know, baby's born in 57. The mother probably was at least 15 years old when she gave birth, right? So, you know, it's highly unlikely to both make the request. And by then already, Ataka couldn't get back to Rabbi Yashiv. So at the time, this girl was dating. Like, she had to have an answer. So we did a geiris. I made a bezdin. I called Reb Chaim Kohn and the Ramash Tov Yalif, and we made a bezdin, and she did a geiris misafik, and she didn't have a shayla. And then the question is, if she can marry a kayin. So I told her, what we told her is, when she has to be tayvel l'shem for nida for marriage, at that time we'll make it a geiris also misafik. When at Torah you go basa one rive. It's a drabanan. So that's what we did. We did a geiris. Ultimately, her mother came to be, and her siblings as well. Later came also.
She dated as a guy?
No, she dated as a Jew. Listen, I said she's a guy, but don't worry, she'll be typical. She dated as if she's a Jew. Remember, we're not Torah, you go bus a right. We're not Torah, you go bus a one right. It's Xer de Rabbanan, and we don't know how to handle it because we don't know what's Trey Ruby.
Did she say anything
for the chassid? It's not the end. I don't think she said anything there. It's not the end of the story. Rabbi Yashiv, I never got to him again. And we did the Geirus. I spoke to Rabbi Ruvain then about marrying a Kayan. And, you know, he felt she could marry a Kayan as Xer de Rabbanan, but whatever it was. Fast forward, what? Not an adoption agency. There's only an abandoned baby. You have two wives. A Jewish adoption agency. You don't have two wives. You can only be done on those who are given to adoption in the agency, and in that there's no mitzvah of two wives. Years later, I remember it was exactly 50 years after the tshuva had been written. I was learning Kreide Igrus. I like to go through the Stipler's letters. So there's one letter of the stipler to Rebbe Yashiv. It's dated 1950, I believe. And he writes that till now, people come to me, they think I know halacha. I don't know anything about halacha. So when they ask me shailus, I just pass it on. So he said, till now, there was a Rav of Yafo that I asked all my shailus to, and he passed away. He writes to Rebbe Yashiv, do you mind if from now on I ask you my shailus? Okay. So that's the stipler's letter. And then it says on the bottom, what was he asking about? Look at Chela Gimel of Krayna Digrisa, Tshuva Nun Gimel. They rearranged the Krayna Digrisa in the new volumes. It's Chelik Beis, Tshuva Tov Samach Dalet. Anyway, listen to the Shaila. And this was the Chof, that's 1950, right? The Tovshin. Tashin Chaf was 1960. So 50 years before 2010, I guess. 50 years earlier, Rabbi Yashiv had the Shaila. So I went when he was 100 years old, then he was 50 years old. So listen to the Shaila. They write that there's a baby that was, after the Holocaust, the baby, she was getting married in 1960, I guess. She was probably born about 1940. And her parents, a Polish woman came and said, this baby was given to me by Jewish parents who were taken away to Auschwitz. They were given me to take care of. And after the war, she gave the baby to whatever Jews were there. And the baby was brought to Eretz Yisrael and put into an orphanage. And the baby grew up. It was getting married. It was a Jewish girl. And the stipler writes a letter to Rebbe Yashiv. He says, what's the din of this girl? Can we assume she's Jewish? The language he writes in this thing is, it's not so simple to be Megayer her. As it is, she grew up without parents. And her mental state, you're going to start telling her now, explaining you're doing Geiris Masafik. In the letter he writes, Loi Pasha Kol Kati Be Megayer her, because of her mental state. And the Shaila is this. What's the Shaila? We have an umdana that a parent doesn't give up a child. Say it's not my child. We have an umdana that anybody, a Jew or a non-Jew, takes a child, imo le manchi brei, the Gemara says. A mother doesn't deny that this is her child. So to say that the Polish woman, that it's her child, that she said it's not my child, we believe her. Now the question is the child Jewish or not? So he says, Roiv, people that were given away to adoption like that in 1940 was certainly Jews in Poland. So you have one Rav. So the stipler writes, Rabbi Yashiv, how do you figure a second Rav here? It's the same shaila I had. He says, well, how do you cheshbon trei ruvi in this case? You have one Rav, and most people given up for adoption are Jewish. And then we're the Chazal say need two rives. What kind of two rives? By adoption, it's just one rive. There's no mitzvah of a second rive. So what do we do in such a case? So the stipler writes to Rebbe Yashiv that he was thinking that this is a drabbanon. Once you have one rive, two rives is a drabbanon. So goyish a woman, masiach lefitumai, maybe she should be believed, masiach lefitumai, to say that it's a Jewish child. By drabbanons, we believe a guy masiach lefitumai. Rabbi Yashiv shoots that down. He says, there's no masiach lefi tumai when someone is lashbiach mekchai. She wants someone to take the baby from her. So she goes to the Jews and says, a Jewish child. So there's no masiach lefi tumai in such a case. That's what he says. It's lashbiach mekchai and it's not, it doesn't work. So Rabbi Yashiv, he goes through this tshuva and he says, basically, is that when you don't have two rives, you could be Seimach on the Rashi Shita in the Sugya. Rashi Shita is the Maila of Trey Ruby was only Maila Asu B'yuchsin only for Kuhuna. Not for everybody. And he points out the Noida B'Yehuda that I mentioned to you earlier says to do like Rashi. Noida Memal, if you have on your page, it's three lines from the bottom in the first column of the Pesachei Tshuva on the page that has Sif Lamed Beis, four lines. He says, after Avinu B'Ksuvis, four lines at the bottom in the first column, after Avinu B'Ksuvis Tezvav, Debinu and Trey Rubi, Liyuchsin, Heinul liyuchsim de kuhuna. I've listened to the Yisrael sagi b'chad ruba v'herich b'zeh. See, as over there in Arichus and Rashi Shita, that the trei raiv is only needed l'kuhuna and not liyisrael. So, bottom line, Rabbi Yosha was mekel. He wasn't mekel to marry a kayin, but he was mekel. See, after I saw this, so I called the person I went with, Yisrael, to Rabbi Yashiv, and I said, you know, Rabbi Yashiv wrote a tshuva 50 years earlier. I wouldn't have to go to him if I had seen it. He says, when you can't figure out a hechatimsa of trei ruby, I don't see, be samach harashi all the time, when there's no mitzias of trei ruby, you can be samach on a single rive. After that, the person told me, of course he wanted to be mekel, because I pushed him to tell me a psak. If I don't get a lawyer, what should I do? If he would have meant to be machmir, he would have told me. He would have told me, if you don't get a lawyer, you're in trouble. That would incentivize me to get a lawyer, right? If he said, if you don't get a lawyer, come back, I should have realized that he probably means to be mekel, and he doesn't want to be mekel until you come back. Until you exhaust all the bad. So this is the tshuva. For Rabbi Yashiv, it's a long tshuva. A lot of it is Amasiyach Lefi Tumai. And he's mekel. What?
Children
could not
marry
Kainim
either.
Children couldn't marry Kainim either. I don't know. Is it even on one parent? Is that true? I'm not sure. Could be by Geris, it's not, but you need both to continue. But to marry a Kayan, a Ger, you need both parents to be Ger, or else the child's mutter. I'm not sure in such a case.
But the mother could be a
Goy,
so
without
the children
would be a Goy. Could be a Goy, okay. Could be, I don't know. In this case, she was a Goy anyway, so it was good. So at any rate, I think this whole story just illustrates the psak that. In the Dinah Sufi, Cheshesh Bamzer were very mekel. As long as the parents cared about the child, were mekel. In the Cheshesh of Guy, so it's not Shah Trey Ruby, it was Samech Amor. Now, this is all, this is all Acher HaMaisa. About going to an adoption agency in the first place, Ramesh has a tshuva in Chela Gimel, tshuva Kuv Dalet. Bin imut cotton by Argentina. Ech legaira im yesh locha shedin ha-sufi. Ramesha here goes into the nidain of the machlekes, the Rambam and the Ravid that's brought into Beis Shmuel. So machlekes here, the Rambam and the Ravid, if you just look quickly, the beginning of Nundal, which is the top line, Ramesh is not talking with Rabbi Yosef's school of Rashi Shita. He's going straight on this Rambam, who doesn't like Rashi. He says, Kishara Sufim, Ken Kosav a Rambam. This is going on Sif Lamed Gimel, that the Rambam says that he begaya the person, and then he remains an asufi. So he says, even after the child, you begaya the child, you have to be chayshish for asufi. Nirul mishayim ashekas of hariz esafik akum linyuchsin umefarsh ashekas of rav. Aval loy liyuchsin haynu yichus shlodiyasi achi Yisrael kashas linul chumra leizin and acharoyv and ukoz man shloy tavol amin hashem akutiyu. This sif is that v'chayshi is a guy. Enki dushu k'dushu. Achashe tova, achashin Hashem hu mamzer, avagab deroiv ha'akum le'ezin acharoiv, etc. So what's he saying here? He's saying is that after you table the child, you start to v'chayshi the child's an asufi, so you have the kula, if the child was abandoned to die, you don't have a kula. If the child was not abandoned to die, then you do have a kula. The question is, the Ramesha deals with is this Rambam and the Ravid. The Ravid is in the first wide line. That's a Ravid. He said Chayim Das arrived. The Ravid is Mekel. Kshaloi Meres Baruch Kasha Nevati. But in Trei Ruby Dafkalich Sekuna. That only for Kuna like Rashi. But the Kaim L'Mishtika Filu Barayv Kshem Chayshin Shemam Zehu. Because of the Sama, Tzorach Leimach, Shash Mamz Li Yisrael, Avanami Lekain Li Yosin. says that the hocheshash and a shtuki is only the kain liyosin, and we're not an asufi with that choshesh. Ramosha has a tshuva about the machmirim to be choshesh for asufi in a child after you're worried about roiv goyim, and you either table the child or however you deal with the roiv goyim. The choshesh machab is you table the child. Now choshesh mamzer. So he brings that they are machmirim. Ramosha has a chiddush about an adoption agency. He says that why are we choshesh for Trey Ruby? Because we're afraid of a kavua. We're afraid of a case where the baby will be kavua and you won't be able to be samech hanayv, so chazal will go as Trey Ruby. What is a kavua? A kavua is you'll have a case where a woman herself is giving up a baby for adoption. You have a woman herself who's giving up a baby for adoption. And the issue is whether we should be chayshish, the shita of the Rishonim, that even after you tayvel, you still have to be worried that the child might be a mamzer. It's a gzeira otu kavua. So Ramosha's chiddush in this tshuva is that any time it comes from an adoption agency, there's no gzeira, because he says inyan imut sheika sekenes, an adoption company, he writes, shaloichet tinoikis keelu lekam mitzias dekvua. Kulam heim rak pirshu b'zeh shavasla sekenes. Sekenes means an adoption agency. What he's saying is this. Really, okay, so I'm explaining. Till now we're talking, if a baby's given up for adoption, left to live, there's no issue. The chayshish, the chshad is, what about the shittas Rambam? The Rambam is chayshish by an asufi who's adopted, that maybe that were geyser, because if it'll be, you could have a case where it's given up for adoption and the baby's abandoned. You could have a case where the mother who has the baby is selling the baby, she's giving up the baby for adoption. Then when you go to the mother, that's kavua, because there it might be known. It may or may not be known who the father is. Ramosha's chiddush is, even like Yenna Shita, whether it be chayshu for that Shita or not, what Yosha was saying, only for kuna. But he's saying, even like the Shita, that's machmir, on an adopted child without Trey Ruby, it's only gzeira oto kavua. And in adoption agencies where there's no mitzias of kavua, we don't have to be chayshish for the gzeira derabanan. That's a chiddush. Normally I would say it's a gzeira. The gzeira is like plug. Ramesh is saying that in an when somebody is given up to an adoption agency anyway, it's not shayach kavua. So mamela, it's not shayach gzeira oto kavua. And he's mekel on a child that's adopted as a guy, that you can assume the child's a guy, even like the other shittas in the Rishonim that would require the Trey Ruby. So Akoponim, this is he's mitzarif. Someone asked before, it's a difference between 51% and 99%. He's mitzarif that in this case, in Argentina, it's an overwhelming majority. Gam, after he's mekel, he says, Gam, Ikamamish Trey Ruby, the whole year Argentina, Ikaruba de Ruba Nachrim. So what's the difference where the baby came from? There's no likelihood someone came from Israel to Argentina to give a baby for adoption. So he's mitzarif that as a tziruf, and the whole thing's a drabanan. So say saimach on it. So the bottom line is that was saimach on children and adoption agencies. Chelik Gimel Yeredeya Tshuva Kuf Dalet. Yeah, I think a Jewish agency is different. Like I said, there's no roiv goyim in a Jewish agency.
So doesn't the adoption agency take children that are found? And that's, it isn't a
but most children given most children given up to a Jewish agency. Okay, Rabbi, say just a question. How many of you are here next Sunday? Most of the elements here. Okay, so believe that barring the last year, the last Sunday share I wasn't here, but someone gave me a ticket to Eretz Yisrael for the last day. So he rather offered me on Friday, but I think I just to. So now I'll probably be here next Sunday. I'll be in Eretz Yisrael. I'll be in Eretz Yisrael.